CliffCentral.com.
Good morning, sheepers. It is such an interesting thing doing this. what a great start to the morning. Yeah, see, we get people who do recordings in the studio, okay, and which is all good and well because this is the beauty of our platform that you can do a pre-record, you can go live. Some mornings you come in here and people have been playing with knobs on the mixer.
There you go.
I have been playing on knobs and everything else. Sia, can you hear anything?
I can.
My buddy, can you hear through your headphones?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, it's just me then.
Oh, sorry. Askies. Plugged in? Oh, this is just lovely.
No, it's okay. It's all working. Okay. Let's just rewind. Let's just go back to where we were.
Let's pretend none of this ever happened.
It didn't.
Et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Hey, good morning.
Oh,
hey, guys.
Hello.
Hey.
Yes. Yeah, look at that.
Thursday. So, Lucas, basically, you can just cut the edit from there.
That's a great plan.
Well. Thursday. Almost there, the weekend. Gareth is not with us today. Of course, he did that whole long flight to America.
33 hours.
Which means that he'll probably be sleeping now. I imagine he'll be sleeping, jet-lagged. He would have had something dodgy to eat. Because that's what happens when you're in transit. You never eat good food.
Yeah.
You kind of eat food that was just sort of made out of spice almost.
Yeah. Or cardboard.
Cardboard, exactly, between the two. So it is Thursday, but nothing else is going to change. We're here, of course, just like yesterday. And Justice Malala is here. Lucas, we got that one, huh? Justice isn't on a plane or anything like that. Okay, that's very, very good. So you can get in touch with us, WhatsApp 079-748-2090, or of course on the Cliff Central account on WeChat. So guys, it's going to be the weekend, and we've got one more show without Gareth, and then all of next week, there's five more shows without Gareth, and then, well, we'll just take it from there. Because, you know, he could be abducted in America.
Oh, yeah.
You never really know.
He could find himself in a hostage situation. He could meet the love of his life, get married on the spot, and decide to never come back.
Okay, you had me in a hostage situation. You lost me on love at first sight.
Oh, guys, anything is possible.
No, it's not. With Gareth, you know certain things are possible. This is the beauty and the curse of the man.
What? What if he bumps into Ivanka Trump or Megyn Kelly and he woos them and they immediately fall in love with him and they say, stay with me, Gareth, stay.
Don't you know Gareth the longest out of all of us here? You know for a fact that's not going to happen. If Gareth bumps into either of these women, he'll blow, excuse me, I'm terribly sorry. And then he'll walk away.
I think he'll just behave like a love-struck teenager with a big crush that he can't handle.
Yeah, Ivanka's a game changer because then that means he's moving to the White House. So to be,
I mean, I'd give up us for the White House in a heartbeat.
Well, you got to think, you know, as things are evolving, we know America has first black president, America has first orange president. Can America have its first lady pool boy?
Oh, is that
because
is that what he
first
would be?
First lady pool boy?
Well, I mean, okay. I don't mean to sound stereotypical, but what would his title be? Because he's got to be something menial, as in like the bad sort of porno cliche.
So Gareth, the pool boy.
Yeah, he could be the...
And Ivanka is kind of technically the first lady, let's be honest.
Or he can be the presidential intern first woman category.
first woman category.
You know what? You're probably right because you don't just arrive. You know, you've got to start all the way down at the bottom and work your way to the top. So he'd have to start somewhere.
This is the lens that we go to try to find Gareth Love. We're making up false titles that got involved in the US presidency. This is how much we care. Gareth, if you're listening, don't ever think we don't care about you.
Yeah, this is what caring looks like.
We are proving it time and time again. So yesterday I was going through just general clips and things like that, and I found something that was really interesting. So we're going to start the show on a sexual note today.
Oh. You see, yesterday we were talking about...
I always know I've got an audience of two at least with that.
Always game, no question, no debate.
So expectations around sex. So, you know, growing up, you always thought like sex was, I don't know, you have various ways of thinking what sex is. Either you have older siblings who have misguided you or told you embarrassing things, or maybe you saw your parents in a little more kind of graphic way than you ever wanted to. Oh.
It very much depends on how you're first exposed to sex.
Hopefully not exposed too much because it can go mostly bad. I don't think you have great experiences when you're young as far as getting what's down. You could get, a rather awkward teacher telling you about the birds and the bees, as they say, and you're still confused about why you need to know about birds and bees. And then you realize it's not actually about either one of those things. So we all have kind of warped ideas, really, when we're young. I suppose that's what makes it interesting, because we are sort of corrected as we get older. So here's some sex expectations, something I find quite interesting. So your first...
I didn't have any brothers, so I didn't...
Sorry. So your first expectations, but you get it.
Uh-huh.
Here's a girl with big glasses.
When I was little, I didn't have any brothers, so I didn't really know where the penis was on the body. I knew what it looked like. I knew it was between the legs. I wasn't sure where. I was very confused by how people actually had sex because of the angles. Because I knew the vagina was a hole at the bottom of the girl and the penis was something coming out of the bottom of the guy. So I thought all sex had to be done, like, feet first. I kind of just thought people were scissoring all the time. Or, like, a guy had to be doing a handstand with his legs separated and then the woman would just, like, get on the bed or something and hop onto him.
When I was a kid, my parents told me and my sister that boys have penises and girls have vaginas. I don't know if they thought that, like, the V, like, we were too young to understand the V letter. When we were like 6 or 7, they bought us a sex ed tape. There was a part on it where the guy goes, "Now, some of you might have heard that it's vagina, but that's incorrect. It's actually pronounced vagina." Like, apparently this is a common problem. What is the point of that? What if I had never seen that tape? What if the first time I brought a girl home, I was like, "You know, you have a really beautiful vagina."
When I was a kid, I thought that the first time that a guy went to second base with me, I was gonna have an orgasm. I thought that his hands on my 8th grade boobies, I should not say that, that's really creepy. I thought it was gonna be like, light fills the air, my eyes roll back in my head, like God comes down and touches my finger, Sistine Chapel style. It was on a bench in the middle of a party, we're French kissing, then he starts fiddling with my bra, he can't get it, but it's okay because the anticipation is building. He puts his hands on my boobs and just does nothing with them. It would just be like an alien coming to Earth and not knowing how to use anything and just like ripping grass out of them just to see what happened. I didn't have my first orgasm.
During the first year that I was having sex, I was at the store buying condoms and I saw there are these condoms that are specially designed to make you last longer. I'll just use those and then I'll just be a superhero between the sheets. I went over to her place and, you know, one thing led to another and I put it on. Turns out, actually, there's a numbing agent inside the condom, and after about 10 seconds, my penis was completely numb. A little while later, I tried again, and this time, it was a lot better, and I was like, oh my god, thank god, it's going great. Turns out that it was going great for me because I put the condom on inside out, and after about 5 months, I had completely numbed her vagina. Less than romantic.
Oh, yeah.
Wow, but we've all had those, hey? We really have.
Oh, no.
So to get you thinking this morning, if you want to indulge us, share some of your thoughts. Your expectations and how different they were from what you thought to what they were. And I think that this is why when you meet like the people who are, say, 40-year-old virgins or, you know, in their 30s or whatever, the longer you don't have sex, I think the more warped your expectations become. because you get into contact with more people, you get told more things, and then you're always thinking because it becomes like a big thing in your mind, right?
But don't you think that because you're getting older, you also become more realistic about how terrible that first time is going to be?
Oh, yeah, look, there's no doubt it's going to be terrible, but what you think is going to happen, that's where it gets a bit weird.
Yes.
Like, we all know we're going to be terrible at something the first time we do it, right? Sex is just like flying an airplane.
I still don't think that way, because, like, we see the movies, and it's just like everyone has perfect hair, and there's great music in the background, and it's lighting, and you think you're just going to evoke, like, your inner Beyonce. Then afterwards, for the first time, you're like, was that it?
Yeah, but you see, that's
what people talk about.
This is a point that I'm trying to make. So if you do it for the first time at age 16, you know, you're in that mindset where you're thinking, it's going to be just like in the movies.
Oh, yes.
By the time you're 40, you realize that it's not going to be just like in the movies because, you know, you've got life experience. You're older and you're wiser and you know these things better.
Yeah, but also when you're watching the movies, it's not their first time.
No.
Unless you're watching an awkward teen movie where the condom breaks and the mother walks in or the dog takes the duvet off the bed, that kind of stuff.
No, you know, this is teenage girls really believe in movies, Ben. They really believe that movies predict real life events.
Is that why the girls are more upset? Guys are like, nah, at least I got it done. It wasn't like the movies.
Yeah, girls have way too many issues.
Where the hell's that guy playing the harp?
You know,
well,
girls,
I was disappointed.
Girls will watch a scene with Halle Berry efficiently pulling off a sexy scene with lingerie, and they'll honestly believe that they'll be able to do that for the man in the bedroom.
Just the way Halle Berry
takes
it off.
Yes. Like, it's like the most ridiculous thing.
Of course your dress just like slinked off your body and landed in one perfect little lump.
Meanwhile, hooks are going to get stuck in different and awkward areas, and it's just like the two of you will probably end up just bursting out laughing because you realize that, I can't pull this off.
Your reality is not sexy. It's not. There's nothing sadder than seeing a rolled up piece of underwear. You go like, what? Like, so pathetic. It's just like a ball of cloth now. Halle was misleading. It's just...
But as well, like when you think in the movies and stuff like that, right, it's all about lighting because it has to be because it's a visual art.
Yeah.
Whereas in real life, the lighting's generally going to be terrible. At best, you'll get a dodgy bedside lamp or you'll get like maybe a TV flickering in the background or something.
Or if you don't have a lamp, the lights are on just too bright. They're far too bright.
Just good old fluorescent light.
Like I don't care how great you look. I don't think that first time's ever going to be full lights. Unless you literally that you can't find the light switch. And then it's awkward.
Oh, adding more to the awkwardness.
Yeah, so
you just have to go through that.
Okay, Lucas, can you please help me with the WeChat screen? It's one of those mornings. I'm like, everything I touch seems to maybe not work so well. And then can you give me, and Justice is coming in at 7, right?
Yeah, that's the plan.
Sorry, I did talk to Lucas about this earlier. I'm just reiterating it if you are wondering.
Okay.
Okay.
Then we've got another one of Gareth's guests. We chatted to some guys last week, about, you know, yesterday I mentioned that there's this new product that's kind of changed my lounge and my lifestyle.
You still won't tell us what this thing is?
Well, today you're going to find out.
Oh, thank goodness. Yeah. Because, I mean, yesterday a suggestion was that it's a dildo with a camera?
Dildo with a camera. No, it's not a dildo with a camera. So in the third hour today, you will find out what this contraption, this gadget, this thing is, and how it's just like it's simplified everything that I need. You know, I love watching TV. I love watching series, love watching movies, and obviously sport. And throwing everything together is just the way forward. So you'll hear about that in the third hour. Otherwise, there's something else that is, I'll save it for the news. Anything else pressing with you guys right now?
Ooh,
excitement around the weekend building?
There is some excitement coming, most definitely. I just want to know if you guys are ready for just another night of drink, popcorn, and some fun with the Cliff Central crew.
What? There's another... gathering happening?
Yay!
Why am I the last one to know about this?
Well, not necessarily just a gathering, Benjamin. It's time for our next exclusive movie screening. This is one for the real big books. So starring Jake Gyllenhaal and Ryan Reynolds.
Oh.
Come on. It's a movie called Life. It's a terrifying sci-fi thriller about a team of six scientists aboard an international space station on a mission of discovery. But when the crew brings aboard a sample collected from Mars, they discover it contains a large single-celled organism, which is the first example of life beyond Earth. But things aren't always what they seem, and the scientific discovery turns into sheer terror when the life form proves more intelligent than anyone ever expected. So the crew not only need to fight for their own survival, but also need to stop it before it reaches Earth, where it could wipe out humanity. So if you're ready to just hold on to your seat as you watch this, then you're brave enough to watch Life. Join us on Thursday, the 23rd of March, at the Star Kinnikorn, Sandton City, where you'll be amongst the first people in South Africa to watch the movie. So email us, events@cliffcentral.com, to get your hands on tickets.
Okay, so wait, give us a date again.
23rd of March. It's a Thursday. Putting it in a diary already.
That's not next week. It's next after next.
Yeah, not next week. Yeah, the other one.
Yes,
that's the one.
Okay, great. And that's Sir Kinnikorn Sandton, right?
Yes. Events@cliffcentral.com. You should quickly email us to get your hands on some tickets. Seems like an awesome movie.
Could I down for two, please? I'm not going to email you.
No. Well,
What is procedure?
Do you think you're the president?
Yes.
You have to follow procedure everybody protocol. Else.
Bollocks.
Send an email to events@cliffcentral.com.
Buddy, I'm pushing the knobs this week.
You are not special.
I'm pushing the knobs this week. I'll make an exception for myself.
Protocol observed.
But you know this whole Mars thing? Thank you, Sia, for the information. Do email him and let's all get together and hang out. Uh-huh. That whole Mars thing, right? We've spoken about it here and there. You know, Matt Damon went there and didn't go so well. And people still want to go there and make this thing their home.
Mm.
I listened to a podcast yesterday because ever since Rich came in on Monday and told us to get outside of our boxes,
mm-hmm.
I've now been listening to all kinds of things.
Mm-hmm.
Not with great success. Some people are very boring and some subjects are just not me. Anyway, I'm giving it a go. But this whole Mars thing, right? It's got to be scientists and other people just trying to get laid. Like, it's just, oh, look, I'm doing this thing about Mars. And they go, oh, wow, Mars, that's so great. You must be so clever. But what's the real end game here? It just seems stupid. I don't think we're ever meant to go to Mars. It's further away from the sun. Allegedly there was water at some stage, because the whole thing, I won't get into the science of this, but it's too cold there, right? It's like a -100 on like a good day.
Mm-hmm.
Like the seasons are all screwed. Essentially nothing grows there because there's no water. And we are led to believe by these scientists, right, who have these, they say, oh, Mars is 9 million years old. Bullshit. Where do you pull this out of? And I know they have these answers, right? Because that's what these scientists do. They all just smoke screens, and they're like politicians, and they'll deceive us with little bits of information here and there.
So they
are trying to sell us this dream that there was once oceans and lakes and rivers Mars. But come on. If it's got the ability to go from lakes and rivers and all this kind of stuff to this barren landscape where Matt Damon almost died.
Yeah, but I mean, if you have 9 billion years.
Yeah, but
that's a long time.
It all just sounds like a whole waste of time. And like, I understand about space voyages and what NASA are doing, because they're just trying to kind of always innovate and push the next frontier.
Yeah.
And then from that, they learn things and they can bring it back to Earth, and we get better stuff, you know, all good and well. That's brilliant. But this whole idea about Mars is such a waste of money, I think. And it's such an attention seeking stunt. Because these scientists, they run out of things to do, right? I mean, every now and again, you get a survey which says that 9 out of 10 men have had dandruff and whatever, some stupid stuff. And they run out of things. So now Mars is like this giant, like 9/11 firefighter moment for them. Remember, like firemen around 9/11, just covered in women. I reckon it's the same thing for the scientists. They go, guys, what is our thing? How are we going to get more chicks?
Well, people like being the first at things, you know, they'd like to be known as the first one who discovered this, you know, which is why the Americans and the Russians were in such stiff competition to be the first to get to the moon.
Yep.
it could be a similar thing with this whole Mars thing. Is somebody wants to be the first to say, I was able to get human beings to move to Mars.
Yeah.
Like, even though, as far as I understand, Mars is inhabitable for humans right now.
Uninhabitable.
Uninhabitable. Yeah. So if we went
there... the scientists have got to you. They've already got you thinking this. It's going to happen.
So if we went there now, there's no way we'd be able to survive. Now or in the next X million years. This is my understanding of where we stand on Mars. We would not be able to survive on that planet.
Yeah, like... going back to the UAE, right?
Uh-huh.
Moral compassing aside and how they treat you if you have sex aside, I think that's quite a huge thing, right? They've built cities in deserts and they pull water from the sea and that kind of stuff. How about we pull more water from the sea rather than going to Mars? So all these places that have like famine and they've got no water and are dying, let's maybe change that. How about that, scientists? It probably won't get you laid, but I think it's better for all of us.
Well, so, I mean, scientists have their own list of priorities, Ben.
Yeah, but it's so self-indulgent, mode. That's what I'm getting.
Yes, they're trying to help us for the good.
Because their end goal is, I want to be that first guy too, X, Y, Z. You're right. It is completely self-indulgent and it's very much ego-driven.
And like Elon Musk will know he'll sell more cars if he can talk more Mars. There's this great episode of South Park where Cartman wants to go to Mars because he doesn't want his girlfriend to find out that he once said sexist things on email. So he decides that they have to go to Mars.
Of course.
It's the only way they can get away from it. It
makes all the sense in the world.
So just as it happens, there's a Mars space station in South Park, like everything else.
Of course.
And they go in there and Elon Musk is giving like a tour. So Cartman believes that they go there, they're going to take off. And then he's like, Elon Musk is giving this whole long speech. He's like, okay, cool. This is great. It's Cartman. But can we go to Mars now? And he's like, well, it's going to take about 30 to 40 years to really get there. And he's like, what? I haven't got time for that. I got to go now. Screw you, Elon Musk. And he's just shouting at him. It's so good. So maybe I'm alone in this. I don't know. I just think it's one of those self-indulgent kind of things. And it just seems a little bit... I don't know. What's the word? Not useless. I mean, like I said, whenever you're using science in life, good things can come from it, right?
Uh-huh. A lot of good things.
It means you're engaging your brain and you're looking to better things. But it's exactly the same as scientists making weapons or scientists making X-ray vision just for pornographic purposes. It doesn't seem like it's going to really benefit anybody because who's going to Mars? Maybe someone in 2050? That's not us.
No.
So maybe I'm being self-indulgent.
50 is not that far away, guys.
Yeah, it is.
It's in 33 years.
See, in 33 years, even you will be old.
Girl, nah. I'll still be my juicy
You'll
face.
Be like in Dala. You'll be like, serious, no.
33 years time, I'll be 55. That is right in my sweet spot. I don't understand. Oh, why is nobody laughing?
I'm going to be 68.
I love the way you speak. That's why I laugh.
It's a sweet spot of life.
Hey,
55.
Man, listen, by the time you're 55, I'm pretty sure 55 will be the new 12. Okay? I'm just saying.
I wish I looked 12 now. So, wait, how old will you guys be?
I'll be 68 in 33 years' time.
Oh, that's not bad.
Yeah, it's not bad, but at the same time, it's not like running around Mars, is it?
How old is Richard Branson? Because I'm pretty
sure... He'll be dead.
Well, no. As in, how old is he now? He is 66. See how he's living his life and still running about town?
He'll be 99.
Yeah.
He'll be just about to raise his bat. He'll be no stage.
Yes, no.
You know how long it takes to get to Mars? It takes like 4 years to fly there.
I'm giving you the gauge of like where you'll be in your 60s. So you won't be like sitting at home like trying to crochet. You can still go to Mars.
I know, but I don't think at that stage, flying to like London is going to be difficult and a pain in my ass. Flying to Mars, it's slightly longer.
At 68?
Yeah.
No, Ben.
See, Ben has decided that he's going to be grumpy when he's old. That's a decision he took.
And I think like just hitting 50 for him is old and done.
Just leave him alone. He's fine.
Guys, I'm going to be in better shape than all of you. I'm staying with this whole... lean, mean kind of thing.
You have a very defeatist sound about you when you say that. I'll be 68, like it will be over for me. It'll be tickets. Like I'll
but I will be fed up with a lot of things mentally.
You're already fed up with things now.
You're already fed up.
And I'm like, Mars, yeah, so great. Okay, cool. So basically, we're gonna go there and we're gonna sit in a tent.
Look, I would love for people to go to Mars just so that I can see what happens and how it all plays out.
You want to see explosions and decompressions of heads and stuff.
I mean, I do, but I would also like to see, I would also like to see how humans would, you know, how they would adapt to that planet. So I want to see all of that play out.
I don't know. Personally, I don't want to go.
But no, not me personally, cool, but I want to be around to see it.
Yes. If other people want to, great, go ahead. Me, no, thank you.
Okay. Well, on that, on those differing views.
Yes.
It's time for the news. This morning's news is brought to you by Colcacchio Pizzeria. If you ever want a menu that's going to literally jump out at you, it's at Colcacchio's. I've never seen anything bland or boring, and I go there quite often. Mubs, over to you.
All right. So our water and sanitation minister, that would be Nomvula Mokonyane. She says that there is a possibility the Western Cape could be declared a disaster area.
Yep.
This is a result of the water crisis.
See, this is my point. Screw you, Mars. Let's sort out Cape Town. There we go.
National disaster management officials were assessing the province, and they say that they will have a report to give to the minister by next week, Tuesday. Now, Minister Mokonyane said that she met with Western Cape local government, environmental and developmental planning, MEC, Anton Bredell, yesterday about the current water crisis facing the province. You know, she added that, look, I think we're not far from a situation where the entire Western Cape will be declared as a disaster. Ooh. It just doesn't mean throwing in money to the problem. So just throwing tons of money at it is not going to be sufficient, according to the minister. It means doing things differently. Now, the Cape Town mayor, Patricia de Lille, she already declared a local state of disaster due to drought conditions. So I guess the minister doing so will be just a matter of formality. But we'll have to wait, as I say, until next week to find out what that report entails. And then the Western Cape will really have to dig deep and start doing things differently, which is what the minister says. It's not just about throwing money at it. They've got to change strategy completely.
I would have preferred this conversation to have taken place, I don't know, October.
Yes, you know, foresight is a great thing to have. It's it's wonderful to be able to, you know, predict things so that you can see what could potentially happen.
It's like, you know, call me a stickler for tradition, but essentially from the months of October through to March, water does not come out of the sky, but water continues to come out of taps. I mean, call that crazy. So kind of this was always going to incrementally get to the situation of everyone is on fire.
But that's why we go to Mars, because they're like diamonds raining.
We can't give up on
what
this planet. We can't give up on this planet. Why doesn't Bob Geldof get a bloody concert together and say those exact words?
Because he's don't give up on Earth. And old.
Don't give up on Earth.
Bob Geldof has already done a lot of concerts.
That's not enough. You don't get to retire.
Look, this thinking differently thing, I mean, you know, Cape Town, you're right there next to the ocean. So this thinking differently thing has to, you know, look at exactly that, which is what we've mentioned on this show before. How can you make that ocean that's right there more useful to you in this kind of situation?
Yeah.
Solar powered desalination.
Okay.
Desalination.
Did I say that right?
Well, I've never heard it. What is that?
It's when you extract the water from the ocean and take away the salt, and then you've got water.
Yeah. Oh. Desalination.
How do you think they work in Dubai, yeah?
I don't know.
I'll tell you what. Allah does not rain down tears on them so they can grow golf courses.
Okay.
There will be a lot of tears.
It comes from the ocean.
Okay. The South African Pilots Association. They say that the airline is in distress as a direct result of the dysfunctional leadership by Dudu Mien, who is at the helm of SAA. So much so that the association have now partnered with other civil aviation group, the organization under tax abuse that is OUTA, and they have decided to take legal action against the SAA board chairperson. This is all in an attempt to declare her a delinquent director, which would then hopefully get her removed from her position, because seemingly she's doing damage to the airliner. The kind of damage that we're talking about is that SAA have now lost an estimated 10.5 billion rand over a period of just 5 years. 10.5 billion rand.
It's almost like her and JSC have a contest. Who can lose the country or its entities more money? Because they've both been called delinquents now, right?
Oh, they've been called a number of things. A number of things.
But I reckon delinquents at the bottom. As soon as you get called that, you're like, whoa, 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 hang on a second. I can take the rest, but delinquent.
So both parties, this is now the SAA Pilots Association as well as OUTA, they believe that Miani played a role in a number of botched deals as well that have affected the airline. According to them, her involvement in the illegal appointment of BNP Capital as a financial advisor, interference in the Emirates deal, there were problems with that. And then there was also the misrepresentation of a board resolution for the Airbus deal. And all of these things have just piled up and motivated their application for a court order.
Jeez.
Yeah, well.
You know what I'd love to see happen, okay? And I know this is blue sky thinking. Well, romantic thinking, perhaps.
Okay.
But if enough people call you a delinquent or prove or have cases against you and have no confidence in your ability, it's got to reach a point where, as in a democratic country, that person can then get thrown out. Can't go hide in the ANC, can't go hide behind protocols and all this other bullshit that happened. There has to be a time where the public tips you into the abyss, so to speak. Dudu Mugyeni's done, let's be honest, bad things, right? How do you lose that much money unless you are completely and utterly incompetent and a delinquent?
Or if you just don't care.
All of those are not good things.
Yeah, no, I get you. But you see, some people are like Teflon, Ben. Some people, no, I'm being serious. Some people absolutely do not care what is being said about them as long as they get to retain the power position that they're in, which is why, you know, they don't remove themselves from these positions.
Sure. I appreciate. And that is being, we get reminded of it every single day.
Yeah.
My point is, how cool would it be and progressive and I think fair if that someone like OUTA puts together this thing like they did against eTolls? There's got to be more stuff like that where we as people, screw this four years we get to vote. Because there's more than just one vote, there's issues here.
Also, this waiting every 4 years thing, it just keeps doing damage to us. Sometimes, you know, we find ourselves in situations where we cannot afford to wait 4 years.
We don't have another 2 years to wait for Dudu Mugyeni to constantly keep doing this. I mean, it's like the water in Cape Town situation. You can only screw up so much, right? And then you've got less than nothing.
Yeah.
And we've seen all the other departments, all these other stories are making headlines right now. It's because we have less than nothing in certain departments, less than no intellect, less than no credibility, less than no resources. So we've got to implement stuff like this. This is where, again, screw Mars. Let's get democracy right.
That is your motto for the day.
Screw Mars. Mars is fine. Let Mars be Mars.
Okay. So, I mean, I know that we've barely just recovered, you know, from the Sasa debacle hangover, but, you know, just I don't know how much strength you've got left in you. But apparently, Dipuo Peters just decided yesterday to completely dissolve the entire PRASA board. All gone. Dissolved.
Oh, that's
gone.
Good news.
With immediate effect. And this is because of the way that it handled the matter of firing their acting CEO. That would be Collins Letswalo. Remember, Collins Letswalo was the one who stepped into that position of acting CEO. Then he discovered that his predecessor was earning 5.9 million rand. So then he said to PRASA, oh, thank you. I'll have what he's having.
Yes.
And then PRASA got back and they said, no. You've got this thing completely wrong. Then there were allegations made by, you know, some publications that Letswalo had given himself a ridiculous increase. And then the PRASA board decided that they were going to deal with the situation by getting rid of him. So now Collins Letswalo has since hit back at the Parastatals board over claims that he demanded a 350% raise. As soon as he stepped into his new role last July, Letswalo apparently demanded that he receive that same 5.1 million package as his predecessor. Which, I mean, you know, if it's us in our everyday jobs, you step into a new job position. I mean, why would you want less money than what was on the table previously?
Yeah, that's a fair point.
Fair point.
And more especially when you can Google what your predecessor was earning. It's kind of, you know, you have a, more than a leg to stand
on. See, but the word earning's a bit tricky for me because essentially he was stealing a lot. I mean, where did that salary come from?
I can't justify what my predecessor was doing, but all I'm saying is whatever he was doing.
Yeah, no, clear point.
I want a part of that.
But, you know, DuPont-Peters has taken exception to the way the whole thing played out and how the Prasa board dealt with that situation. So she decided yesterday, the lot of you, every single one of you, gone. So that is exactly what she did.
Well, that's good. So SABC's been disbanded, their board, Prasa, now who's next?
Well, I mean, if OUTA and the SAA Pilots Association have it their way, Dudumieni, at least, she'll be,
come on.
You know, she'll be gone soon. This, well, not soon, because, you know, they've applied for court order thing. It'll take a while, actually.
And of course, she'll lawyer up for more taxpayers' money down
yes,
the toilet.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah.
Right. Is that it for the headlines?
That's it for the headlines for now. I'll have more. After right. 7.
Colcacchio Pizzeria brings you the news this morning. And have you guys got the app yet? You definitely do have the app, right?
No, I don't.
That's because you had some phone issues. Okay. All right. So I'll sort that out for you later. Get the Colcacchio app on your phone. That's how you earn and get rewarded. And you can go to where I am on the maestro level. That's just a cool thing to tell people, if nothing else.
So you're a maestro.
Yeah.
Well done.
I'm a pizza maestro.
Mm-hmm. He says ever so modestly.
Yeah. Exactly.
I bet you he says that when he introduces himself to strangers. Hi, I'm Ben. I'm a pizza maestro.
Pretty much. And I also say, I don't have to reply to C. I can just tell him. Right. So it is time for... The sport. Right. So last night was Champions League football action. And as I said to you guys, well, PSG, they are all over Barcelona in this tie. And it would take a hell of a lot for Barcelona to even come back in this tie. Well, that's exactly what happened last night. There was early goals in Barcelona at the Camp Nou, if you want to call it that, their home ground. They were 4-0 down off the first leg, right? So they scored a couple of goals. They were looking great. They're up to 3-0. Got a dubious penalty given. And then Paris Saint-Germain got a goal back. Now, because they were playing away from home, it was the most vital of away goals, because suddenly Barcelona had to score 3 goals and they only had about 10 minutes left. Time kept going down and down. They started scoring more goals. They got another penalty. And the game was at 5-1. They were 5-1 up on the night. But even then, on 5-1, Paris Saint-Germain were through. And then this happened in the 95th minute.
Neymar, левая нога, забрал штрафную. Опасный момент! Гол! 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 Серджи Роберто, Барселона! Это Барселона!
It always sounds better in a foreign language.
Yeah.
It really, really,
it really does.
Huh?
Sounds more exciting.
So Barcelona did it. 95th minute, they scored a 6th goal in the night. So they go through 6-5 on aggregate. What an amazing tie. And people are saying already, this is probably the greatest comeback in Champions League history. Definitely the greatest in our lifetime. No one's ever seen something like this. And you just don't come back from being 4-0 down in the first leg. It's as simple as that. No team has done that. And Barcelona go through. Absolutely incredible scenes there. And if you did watch the match, I envy you, because, you know, I didn't get to watch the late stuff because I'm here. I'm not bitter whatsoever, I promise. Dortmund, well, we all knew they were going to come back as well. They beat Benfica 4-0 on the night, so 4-1 they go through on aggregate. Massive, massive night. In football news, that guy Tyrone Mings, we spoke about yesterday.
Yes, we did.
So he was the guy that was involved in the fracas with Zlatan Ibrahimovic. So Ibrahimovic got a 3-match ban, and Mings, he got a 5-match ban because the FA deemed that he wasn't nearly famous enough to get the same as Ibrahimovic. No, he just deemed that it was a more harsher sort of act, standing on his face rather than being elbowed in the face. Oh. Of course, what happens is, just like Ibrahimovic, he denies ever doing anything in a malicious nature.
Sure.
He denies intentionally putting studs to Ibrahimovic's face and top knot. But let's be honest, I think many people have wanted to do that for quite some time. And he did it, and now he's got a 5-match ban. Yeah, Crimea River. There's FA Cup action this weekend. So Man City will take on Middlesbrough. This is Saturday at 2:15. Got to expect Man City to go through there. Embattled, troubled, so many different words you can use for Arsenal right now. They'll take on Lincoln City at 7:30. Lincoln City is that fairy tale story of the FA Cup. It's a non-league side. Some of their players were pulling pints not so long ago. Now they're playing at the biggest stage at the Emirates against Arsenal. 7:30 Saturday night. Spurs will take on Millwall 4 o'clock on Sunday. And then Monday we'll see Chelsea versus Man United 9:45 in the big tie of the round. And that will be without Ibrahimovic because of that 3-match ban which he will be serving. He'll also miss 2 Premier League matches, but he'll be in action tonight, in Man United's Europa League match. In cricket, well, Proteas did a riot yesterday. They managed to get the end of play looking pretty good with Elgar and Bavuma at the crease, but then they sort of capitulated a bit this morning, going all out for 308. Black Caps fighting back there. And they're doing pretty bloody well with the bat as well. Kane Williamson, as you would expect, he is their best batsman by quite a distance. And he is on 73 not out currently. With him is Henry Nicholls on 12. And the Black Caps are 163 for 2. They're trading by 145 runs with 8 wickets in hand. And tough going for the bowlers so far. Morten Malcolm is back. He's been rather accurate, but still no wickets. So it's going to be a long, long comeback here, because if Williamson stays at the crease, we all know he's capable of big hundreds. And he just needs a little bit of support here and there. And I think New Zealand don't really have a lot of batsmen. So the fact that they are where they are right now is really, really good. All that fighting between Virat Kohli and Steve Smith around Steve Smith and the Aussies cheating. Well, the ICC believes that they should not be punished any further for these actions. But they've all got decent points. And, you know, in sport, like anything else, if you do something wrong, just deny it straight away and do it vehemently so that everyone believes you. Because Virat Kohli was basically saying, for all the DRS decisions, the batsmen were looking up to the change room to get indication if they should review or not. Of course, this is against the law. Steve Smith denies doing that. When he was dismissed in the final innings of the match, it was quite blatant that he looked up at the change room. But yeah, Virat Kohli was telling the umpires that it happened throughout the match and therefore to watch out for this kind of stuff. Steve Smith says it was just a once-off, it was a brain fade, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, it adds so much spice to the next test. And this is the great thing about test cricket, is that even though it's a team game, you get these personal rivalries popping up, and it is the business. Sprinting news. Now, we all know that Nkani Simbini's, it was just red hot over the weekend, and he sets new records. But now Liotella.
That's all.
I got that eventually, okay. Liotella. This dude's 18, right? He just beat Wade Phinecoch in a 100-meter sprint.
Oh, congratulations to him.
Gift, Liotella. This guy is such an amazing find because, like I said, he's very, very young. He's hugely talented. And unfortunately for him, he ran a race where the electronic timing screwed up. So he just beat Wade Phinecoch. And granted, Wade Phinecoch is very rusty right now. 100 meters isn't one of his specialty events as far as in the world stage. So he's trying to get into that. So he's trying to do the 400, the 200, the 100. One of those events will fall away come Olympic time, of course. But he's trying to get more into the 100 to build his speed stamina. But then Gift kind of smoked him. And he won the race. But because the electronic timer kicked out, it could not be registered.
Let me ask here, because Wayne van Niekerk is quite a lean, you know, he's quite on the slender side, if you will.
Yeah.
A lot of the sprinters that I see are usually very bulky. Yep. So will he have to now put on a ton of muscle if he's going to transition into sprinting?
Yeah, it's a good question, because basically for explosive things, you need muscles, right? For long distance things, you need stamina. So smaller muscles obviously help because you're lighter of weight, essentially. Mm. So he probably would have put a bit of muscle on, and that'll be purely through explosive power. So in his drive phase, which is the first 30, 40 meters of the race, where your head's still essentially kind of down, you literally are just driving. That's just all instinct. That's all power. It's all adrenaline. Whereas in the 400 meters, which is the hardest race in the whole world, because essentially you're sprinting for all that time, you've got to worry about lactic acid and just basically pushing through until you pass out.
Mm.
It's very different. So Usain Bolt started off as a 400 meter and a 200 meter runner. And then he transitioned into 100 and 200 because 400 was just too tough.
Okay.
So he could go the same way. But yeah, look, he's definitely got the sprinting ability, but he is quite slender. Bit more muscle, bit more power. Easy as that. In golf news, the Valspar Championship will take place this weekend in the USPGA Tour. Charles Schwartzel is the defending champion, but he got hit yesterday by his pro-am partner. So the pro-am, basically, you're the pro. You play with a bunch of hackers who spent lots of money on making this event happen.
Hackers, hey, that's not...
It's a term.
It doesn't... it's not a positive connotation.
No, it's not the best. But then again, if you watch them play, the hackers is fine. So this dude hit the ball into a tree, it ricocheted off the tree, and hit Schwartzel on his wrist.
Ooh.
So he couldn't play the rest of the Pro-Am. He's on like a lot of ice and that, painkillers, anti-inflammatories, whatever it is. He's hoping he can tee it up tomorrow. Or sorry, tonight. But what a horrible thing to happen. The Hero India Open will take place on the European Tour. And then rugby over the weekend. There's no Thursday matches, thankfully. Nothing at all. So Friday we'll see Chiefs versus Hurricanes, first game 8:35. Brumbies versus Force, then 10:45. Saturday we got Blues versus Highlanders, 8:35. There's some big games here. Reds versus Crusaders, 10:45. Kings versus Stormers, 5:03. The Cheetahs will take on the Sunwolves at 5:15. The Sharks take on the Waratahs, 7:30. And then the Jaguars, they will host the Lions at 20-10 on Saturday. But I'll give you more in-depth preview around that, what to look out for. And of course, if you're playing Super Brew, I'll give you all the picks that you could possibly need. But right now, Lucas, it is time for Anthea, is it not? Okay. Knowing nod from Lucas, and away we go. Bit of pre-weekend steam for you there, Anthea. How are you doing?
Good morning, Ben. We really are getting into this, eh? Every day a different version. Even you now.
You know, the more you look at this song, the more you realize how amazing it must have been, seeing as every time I try to look for it on YouTube, there's different edits and different remixes.
So much fun. All right, to the market then. Quite a big volume day yesterday, $1.8 billion, but the market is a bit directionless. The all share ended flat. Rand was slightly weaker at close yesterday, quite a bit weaker this morning, 13.14 against the dollar. It's still below 16 to the pound, trading around 15.98. And then against the euro, it's uncrossing at 13.85. Nothing is ever a foregone conclusion, but it does look like a rate hike in the U.S. in a couple of weeks is now more likely. The market is pricing in a 90% chance that the Fed will hike rates at the next meeting. And this happened after the ADP employment figures surprised yesterday to the upside. The market was expecting creation of 187,000 jobs. It came in at 298,000.
Wow.
That's a lot. This is not the official Labor Department number. That only happens on Friday. This is more like a payroll company reporting what they're seeing in their books. It does give us a bit of insight into Friday's number, though. I see Trump was only too happy to tweet about this last night, you know, saying it's only the beginning of Make America Great Again and there's more to come. Blah, blah, blah. Anyway, I might just get my wish. Stronger dollar.
Sorry, Anthea. Was that Trump in the background or those Hardy Dolls?
I Hardy Dolls. But similar sound. Of course, yesterday's weakening of the rand meant industrials outperformed. Richemont was up 2%. Anheuser-Busch was up. Mediclinic was even up 2.4%. Even MTN was up 1% yesterday. And then resources and financials suffered a little yesterday. The JSE was down another percent, but at least Old Mutual was up over 1%. They report their results today. I'm looking forward to that to see what they've got planned for the, you know, they're breaking up their business into four different divisions. We do own Old Mutual in hashtag invest portfolios. So hopefully they'll come out with some decent strategy today. I'm also going to the Ascendus Healthcare presentation later today, which is another share I like, but we don't currently own it. And just as well, because since November it's fallen about... it's fallen from about 26 to 20 rand a share, so whatever that is in percentage numbers. They reported yesterday revenue was up 66%, EBITDA was up 89%, margins up 17%. So on the surface, really decent set of numbers. But I just want some insight into their strategy, kind of how they plan to consolidate the businesses they've bought, and then where to from here. I do like the company, probably not the best way to think going into the results presentation. I am supposed to be objective and unemotional and all that.
But is that something you find difficult, Anthea? Do you sometimes right. you just emotionally you become invested in certain things?
Oh, absolutely. And one of the biggest things is, like they always say, do not fall in love with the shares, because like anything can happen, right? And then you're sitting there holding on to shares and for the wrong reasons. It's an odd kind of thing. And it's really weird. Like everybody has their sector that they like. Actually, I don't know if I do. I guess I like financials, you know, like coming from a banking background, insurers, financials, kind of the numbers stuff. I quite like those. Whereas some people will like resources. Generally, those are the geologists. They're the ones that like resource companies. And then there's always somebody who likes gold. There's always an investor who just thinks gold is the best investment in the world.
Yeah, because everyone's a child deep down and we all want treasure.
Sparkly, shiny things. Anyway, I'm kind of hoping Ascendus Health gives me a reason to buy the share today. So wrong, isn't it? And then, you know, Garrett's always complaining that traders and bankers and asset managers don't get fined or go to jail. So I have to relay this story. Yesterday, the Financial Services Board fined a trader 2 million rand for contravening the Financial Markets Act. Basically, he created a deceptive appearance of trading activity and an artificial price, and wait for it, in sunflower futures. Wait, it gets a bit more ridiculous. He traded with himself. So there was no beneficial change in ownership of the contracts. All he was doing was manipulating the price at the end of the day.
Is that something a guy can come back from in this industry? I mean, like, once you've sort yes. of busted with that?
Yes, but you know what happens? They kind of, they disappear almost into the background, into the admin of wherever they're working.
Oh, right.
Yeah, so they pay their big fines. You know, so one of the things the FSB said yesterday is that there were aggravating circumstances because he's supposed to be the gatekeeper and he's supposed to be preventing trade manipulation. So, which is why his fine was so big. I mean, he didn't make money from it, from the trade, but they still fined him 2 million rand. And nobody likes that. That is the point. You know, we trust people with our money. We trust them to do the right thing when they're trading. So, yeah, it's hard to come back.
But Anthea, we trust people with our hearts as well. And look how that turns out for some people.
Oh, dear. I think this is a different conversation, though. Right. I'm expecting a bit of a dull day today. I mean, the U.S. was mixed last night. Europe was a bit higher yesterday. On balance, Asia looking a bit negative, but at least this weaker rand should help us a bit. So we'll see how it goes.
All right. Thank you very much, Anthea.
Thanks, Ben. Have a good day.
You too. Hoping for a good day with a weaker rand.
Indeed.
I think that's a nice thing to say to you. I'm trying to work this out. All right. So that's Anthea, and that's the finance, and that is the first hour. Lucas, we've got Justice just after 7. Actually, come in here for a second. Sorry. It's just, we used to have the producer mic where we could talk, and Lucas is an integral part of the show. So at the moment, I'm just getting nods and thumbs up and that kind of stuff.
He's also kind of the most popular member of the show at this stage.
I think if our popularities were share markets right now, Lucas would be a one. It'd be a hot buy.
Absolutely,
it'd be a hot buy. I forgot to get through some messages here. I got a message from an attractive woman saying Ben has the most supreme taste in TV. Everything he suggests is amazing. And then the same woman wants to talk to me. Lucas, pick up the phone. We can't take phone calls on the WhatsApp line. I'm just going to make that clear. Lucas, how do people call us?
Have to call us on Cliff Central Studio, which is
wait, you know what? Hang a second. Revolutionary idea. Mm. I'm going to turn your microphone on.
Oh, look at that.
Wow, that's fantastic.
So how do people call us?
Well, since now I see that you are trending, Ben, people can get in touch with you via Skype, which is Cliff Central Studio.
Cliff Central Studio. That's how you can chat to us on the Skype line. Anushka says, hi guys, I just want some of Sears Sweet Spot juice.
Yes.
Let's not make this a thing.
Somebody's got new juice.
Sure. Yes. Sears Sweet Spot juice. She says she woke up tired, had a shower, and currently in bed, towel and all, wanting to know if it's December yet.
Yo.
So, Sia, your sweet spot juice could change it all around, huh?
Oh, girl.
Yeah, and then Ashley says about us having this whole waiting 4 years to vote. It's actually 5 years.
Okay.
It's in the US that you wait for 4 years.
We've been very Americanized. Quite right.
Oh, that's horrible. It's an extra year that I wasn't banking on. There's some other messages coming in, but we'll get to that in a second because we've got to get to today's song opening up. Do you guys remember that band, music duo, Mojo? They had a couple of hits.
Mojo.
Took you a while to get that out.
Well, I never know what it's called because they're not a band, right? They're electronic music ensemble. Ensemble is not even the word. Anyway, let me stop talking. Justice Malala, second hour, all kinds of things. This is Mojo with Chillin'. That's what we're doing. Also, turn of the century music's here. Back when you were five. CliffCentral.com.